Okay, habit number 8, gratitude. I want to share a quote with you here. Gratitude can transform common days into Thanksgivings, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. And I couldn't agree with this more. It really is a magical emotion in so many ways. So the first thing I want to talk about here is, you know, it's so crazy because we live in the time where we have more abundance than ever before. And yet so often it's so easy to feel ungrateful. And I believe, I have a theory here, that we are surrounded in this culture with marketing. I mean, years ago, they used to estimate that the average person is exposed to 3,000 ads a day. And that was before the internet. And so if you think about it, the core of almost every single marketing message you get is that what you have is not enough. Right? It's not enough. You need this thing to really feel complete. And so we're constantly being bombarded with these messages that what we have is not enough. And it causes us on a certain level to feel ungrateful. And so we have to work against this. And we really do, because the de facto norm with all the marketing is that we don't have enough, that we're ungrateful. So I think it's really important to boost up the gratitude that you feel. So the first thing to understand is that you can feel grateful at any time. You know, sometimes it spontaneously happens, but at the same time, you can intentionally create a sense of gratitude within yourself. And I think one of the great examples of this was Viktor Frankl. And he wrote a book called In Search of Meaning. And basically, he was a psychiatrist back in Nazi Germany, and he was Jewish, and his whole family was put in a concentration camp. And basically, you know, he used it and tried to make the best of it, you know, as best as he could. And he did, you know, as best he could. But it kind of proved that no matter what situation you're in, you know, and this is what he wrote, that no matter what they take away from me, they can never take away my thoughts. They can't take away how I'm thinking about things. And he proved that even in what would be considered pretty much the worst situation a human could be in, he was still able to maintain a grateful attitude. Okay, so again, it really is up to us. And one way to kind of feel grateful is sometimes to recognize that things could be worse. You don't want to get caught up in this, but to get perspective and to stay calibrated of how lucky you are, I think it's helpful sometimes to realize things could be a lot worse. And I'll give you an example of this. I remember years ago I was shoveling and I was just not in a good mood and I was getting mad about it. And it was just getting me all worked up. You know, it was cold out and I was tired. But all of a sudden I remembered, you know, I kind of remember Viktor Frankl. And I remember this idea of being grateful. And so I thought to myself, you know, who would love to be in this situation right now? And right away I thought to myself, someone who was in prison for life, you know, they would, if they could all of a sudden be free out here and they were shoveling, they were outside, it would probably be like the happiest moment of their life. And while I didn't love shoveling after that, it gave me a different perspective and it made the rest of the shoveling a lot better. Okay. And I think that's the power of gratitude. And it really is just a magical, magical emotion out of all of them, I think, that can be the most helpful. And certainly when it comes to your health, because it makes everything better. You know, it really does. It could take things that seem horrible, and it just, again, it's those rose-colored glasses, but not in a fake way. You know, when you create gratitude and you experience it in a genuine way, it really just allows you to appreciate even some of the worst situations, you know, that you may find yourself in. And that makes it a very powerful tool for feeling better. Now, again, we can deliberately cultivate gratitude. You know, if you turn this into a routine and a habit for yourself, you develop it, you know, and it becomes a way of thinking, you know. It becomes a habitual perspective, right? And it can help you appreciate what you have. It really is a thought habit, a way of perceiving things. And it just makes everything a lot more pleasant, you know, for you. And the more pleasant things are, again, that all contributes to the rest of your health. You know, I mean, the more hopeful you feel, the more optimistic you feel, the more grateful you are, you know, for what you have in your life, the easier it is to drink the right amount of water, to make the right healthier food decisions. And then all that helps other things. And so it becomes this upward spiral that feels really good. And again, it becomes addictive. You know, it's much lighter and much more freeing, you know, when you're connected to a sense of gratitude regularly. So what I want to talk about here is a couple of the benefits of gratitude. You know, clearly you'll experience more positive emotions because as soon as you feel gratitude, we've talked about this before, but lighting up neural pathways, as soon as you tap into gratitude, you start to connect to more positive thoughts. And those positive thoughts oftentimes turn into positive emotions. You'll feel more alive, right? You just start to appreciate the little things that we can so often overlook, right? It's just a different perspective to live in. Oftentimes you'll sleep better, okay? You just have you're more at ease and it helps you sleep better. You'll express more kindness and compassion, you know, to the people around you and the people that matter to you. Your immune system benefits, okay? Because there's less stress, right? Literally, it's physically healthier to feel gratitude. Increased energy, optimism, and empathy. Again, three wonderful things. And increased energy is more freeing. You're not carrying the weight of the negativity around, you know, so it feels good. And as we said, it helps you to perceive and think differently, you know, about different things that are going on in your life and different situations that come up. Because again, I mean, you live life and some things are good and some things aren't so good. And so when those things that come up that aren't that good or things that are challenging, it really helps to have an attitude of gratitude, you know, it really does. So I want to talk about emotions for a moment. I want to dissect them a little bit, okay? And so this is a whole area, and this is one of the things I love studying because, again, sometimes we say, well, I feel gratitude, and we don't really understand what the components of gratitude would be, okay? So let's break them down a little bit. You know, basically emotions, I'm just going to use a different word. It's your state, right? Your state of mind, your state of body. And so your state, your emotions at any point in time is the result of your physiology and your psychology, right? The combination of them. And so, you know, if you're angry, your physiology is kind of hunched and you know what I mean? Like you're tight and your psychology is usually kind of negative. You're irritated. You're thinking about things that upset you. And so it's these two things that we can control that usually influence our emotions. So specifically when it comes to your physiology, you know, the big ones we're looking at here are your posture, your muscle relaxation or tension levels, and your breathing, right? And so if we change all these things, you're going to find that you feel different. And this is the first level, okay? So, you know, when we talk about you're feeling something, you feel an emotion, you're feeling, it's something that's going on in your body. It's your physiology. And if you change your physiology, you will instantly feel different. Now, if you don't change your psychology, it'll probably turn back into what it was before. Your physiology turned back into it. But the first thing we want to do, we want to change how we feel, is to change the physiology. And so even right now, if you relax your stomach, relax your chest, relax your shoulders, let your jaw relax a little bit, let your eyes relax, and let your face muscles relax. Right? So everything go a little bit. And let your breathing become a little bit deeper. So as soon as you do that, without even focusing on your psychology, you'll probably notice that you feel a little bit better. Okay, a little more relaxed, a little more calm. And when you're checking, when you're kind of paying attention to shifting your emotions, you want to pay attention to your breathing. Because your breathing is a real good gauge, right? I always assume, I look at it like the speedometer in a car is kind of the main gauge you're watching. And to me, breathing is the main gauge of how you feel, right? Of where your body's at and where your mind's at. Because if your breathing's tight and restricted, then you kind of can figure out the emotions that go with that. When your breathing is fuller and deeper and more rhythmic, then, you know, there's different emotions that go with that. So the second part is your psychology. And so the simple way to understand it is it's basically thoughts and memories, right? And thoughts can be, you know, you could project into the future. You could be thinking about memories from the past, right? And that's basically what we're thinking about. And when we think about memories or thoughts, we're usually thinking visual, auditory, and kinesthetic components to it, all right? So the simple way to understand this is that it's basically your five senses. I got three of them listed here, but with smell and taste, we typically don't think in smell and taste as much, right? Although when we do, it can be very powerful. Primarily when we think about things, like if you think about what you ate for dinner last night, there'll be a visual component to it, right? Where you ate, who was there, what the plates look like, what your food looked like. There's an auditory component, right? Maybe the sound of music that was playing or the conversations that were going on or the TV in the background or silence, right? That's an auditory component. And then there's a kinesthetic feeling to it. Maybe there was a big fight at dinner, and then when you think back to it, you remember you were tense, okay? And so usually when we think about things, it's visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And so when you want to elicit these emotions, and this is kind of the core of what's called the state elicitation technique, which we'll talk about in a second. But when you want to go deeper into these feelings and into these emotions, you create this physiology, and then you create the psychology. And you'll find as you cycle through that, you begin to create the feeling that you're looking to experience. So one of the things I want to do is I want to give you kind of this baseline understanding here. I want to take you through a simple technique. Now, you could call this anything you want to. I call it thankful fours just simply because this is something my daughter has taught me years ago when she was in kindergarten. Basically, the class would sit in a circle and they would have to say what they were thankful for. And so it was a tradition that we adopted and we started to do at dinner time. Okay, and so it's not much different than, you know, giving thanks or you know, a number of other things, but that's basically what it is. So you can use it however you'd like to. But basically, you're just saying, what are you thankful for? Right? What are you grateful for? Right? I'll kind of be in the same thing. And when you think about it, you know, it starts to send your mind in a different direction. Again, it goes from what you don't have to what you do have, right? What you're mad that you isn't in your life to what you're thankful for, right? What you're just so grateful that you do have. And again, it's a profound shift in thinking. So you want to put yourself into it and you want to think about it. And I would suggest that you ritualize it, right? Meaning that you do it at the same time every day. Now, again, I say we do it at dinner. We don't do it every dinner. Sometimes we don't do it, you know, but it's more likely than not that we will, right? And it's a nice thing to do because it just helps you appreciate what you do have, right? And that always feels good. You want to know if you're going to do it by yourself or with others, right? And again, either one's fine. I've done both of them. And I think they both have benefits. It's nice when I do it with my family. When I do it by myself, though, I go deeper in it, you know? And so I guess they each have their own benefits. But again, just think about how you want to do it, when you're going to do it, right? So I used to do it, well, we do it at dinner now. I used to do it at the end of my master ritual, right? So I'd finish up meditating, and then I would sit there and just think about what I was grateful for, you know? And so I would do it then. So I've done it a number of ways. Again, what matters most, I think, is that you do it regularly and you do it mindfully. Okay. So again, I would say I was more mindful when I did it by myself because I would be in it. And then I would do the state elicitation technique, which we're going to talk about in a second. And so I would go deeper into it instead of just saying the words, you know, I would connect to what those words meant. Okay. So if that makes sense, and you can do that either way, you can do that with others and you can do it by yourself. Right. So if you're with others, when you say what you're thankful for, say it genuinely, you know, do it mindfully, experience what you're saying and really be present when you give that gratitude. You know, it makes it more intense and it feels better. OK, rather than just kind of saying something, you know what I mean? Just having your tongue say something, you're completely disconnected from it, you know, connect to it because it makes it more powerful. So let's talk about feeling gratitude. And as I said, the state elicitation technique that we just went through, when you understand some of the components and ingredients of emotions, you can feel them more powerfully. And so right now, right, the state is your physiology and psychology. We want to talk about grateful physiology. And to start off with, let me ask you, what is something in your life you're grateful for? Right? And just pick one thing. Right? Just think of something in your life you're grateful for right now. All right? And now, again, we're going to be more mindful. We're going to elicit that state and hopefully, you know, kind of boost it so you can feel it. And so what I want you to do is you close your eyes, and I want you to think about that thing you're grateful for. And as you do, I want you to notice your posture. Put yourself into a grateful posture. Allow your body, you know, parts of your bodies to relax and tighten up the way that it feels best. And you're going to activate and relax certain muscles in your body. So you feel a real sense of gratitude. Breathe the way you breathe when you really are truly grateful for something. You know, when you're really grateful for this thing you're thinking about. You know, and sometimes when I do this, I feel like I'll smile, you know, because I just really am so happy about it and truly, truly thankful for it. Okay, so that's the physiology. And now once you have the physiology, now we want to go into the psychology. Right? And so what you want to do now is whatever you're thankful or grateful for is think of a situation that really explains that gratitude. And so what I mean by that is think of a time when you really got to experience that thing you're grateful for. Right? So, you know, if you're grateful for, you know, having a partner, you could think of a time when you were really, really connected to that person, or a really nice time you had. Right? And so you can just kind of go into that memory, right? And so the memory is the visual. So what do you remember seeing in that memory? Right? You can see it now. Are you inside, outside, daylight, nighttime? Were you alone? Were you with other people? Right? Auditory, what do you remember hearing? Right? In that memory of a time you were really, really grateful for something? Right? What would you hear? Was there music? Was there silence? Was there conversation? Right? And then the kinesthetics, right? So we're kind of cycling back now. This is the kinesthetics are where the psychology meets the physiology again. And so how did it feel to be grateful in that moment, right? To have experience with that time. Just experiencing that thing you were so grateful for. And what did it feel like, you know? And sometimes it's stuff you can't necessarily create. Like, you can relax your stomach. But sometimes when you're really feeling grateful for something, there's kind of a warmth. Right, there's just a comfort to it. Feels good. And that's okay too, because sometimes, you know, just general ideas and vibes and energies are good. And then if you want, you can go into another memory and again bring up the details of it. You can stay in the same memory, the same idea, and bring up those details and those memories. Okay? And again, you can stay here as long as you like. You can stay in this memory, you can stay in this feeling of gratitude. Right? And you can just remember what it's like to feel and perceive and think this way as this person. Right? Because this you is thinking differently. You know, it feels better. You're connected to different thoughts. And so you bring yourself out of that. Okay, and so then, you know, as we just did, you can cycle through those thoughts and you can notice new information. So if you're thinking of a memory, you can kind of cycle through it once, go into the kinesthetics, how it felt into your body now. Then go through the memory again. You know, is there any other things you remember seeing? Sometimes as you cycle through them, the memories will get more vivid, or you'll bring into details that you didn't think of the first time. And so as you cycle through them, you're enhancing and you're really, you know, boosting up your nervous system. You're boosting up these neural pathways. Right? You're getting physiologically and psychologically more fluent at feeling grateful. Okay, it starts to feel normal. And so, you know, hopefully even right now, like, you feel a sense of gratitude. And there's a warmth and a comfort to that, okay? So finally, I want to leave you with one last thing. And by the way, what we just did as far as feeling grateful, there's going to be a session. There's a session for that as well. So you can go listen to that and if you just want to feel that and be walked through it. So a couple strategies for feeling grateful as well, okay, that I want to throw out there. The first one is hobbies. You know, when you do things you can get lost in, you know, a lot of times just gratitude goes hand in hand with that, all right? So if there's any hobbies that you kind of stop doing, start doing them again, right? Again, you don't have to commit full force necessarily, but when you start doing things that truly you can get lost in and that feel good and you're just interested in, again, for your health, it's really good, and it kind of goes hand in hand with feeling grateful. You know, it helps you appreciate what you do have. Volunteering, right, when you help other people, you know, again, it's that feeling, you know, that feeling of connection, that feeling of your kind of oneness. All these good, you know, wonderful feelings that can happen, you can experience them somewhat, you know, from these things. Connecting with someone, again, just intentionally using your intention and intentionally looking to connect with someone on a deeper level, you know, in whatever way, you know, you would like to do can make you feel good. Mindfulness, you know, either doing the mindfulness meditation or just being mindful in your reality, you know, literally as you go through your routines during the day. Again, it's hard to maintain mindfulness all day long, but, you know, maybe, you know, go through a little section of your day and say, I'm going to be more mindful of everything I'm doing. I'm telling you, it'll create a sense of gratitude in you, and it feels nice. And then finally is the gratitude exercise that we just did. And as I said, that is something you can listen to and go through briefly with the session. So I hope this helps you out, you know, because again, I feel like this is one of those magical core emotions, and that's really what all these habits are about. You know, they're all about these little things you can do that have enormous impacts on you. You know, and I think this is the secret: is not looking to commit to crazy routines or crazy, you know, ways of living in order to achieve health. I think what the real secret to doing it is to start instituting simple rituals that have, you know, tremendous, you know, benefits to them. And this is definitely one of them. Okay. So I want to thank you. Okay. This is our final habit. I hope you've enjoyed this. You know, I certainly have enjoyed putting this together. You know, it's been a long time that I've been learning these things, and it's really transformed my life. And I'm so excited to teach these things to you because I've been living them for so long, and they really have literally transformed my life 180 degrees, you know, and I'm thankful that I was able to stumble upon them and find them. And so I hope that you are able to get as much out of them as I have. All right. And so I want to thank you so much for listening to this. And I want to remind you, I would recommend listening to them again. Right. I remember I've listened to personal development programs 10, 20 times. You know, you'll get more and more out of it each time you listen to it and really commit to instituting it, you know, into your life. And I think you'll be amazed at what happens if you do. Okay. So thank you so much for listening to this program, and I wish you the best.